Hey, listeners, we're tackling a few questions from the Every Little Thing helpline today. They are mostly bigger than a bread box, and they fall into the categories animal, vegetable, and mineral. Up first, animal. Specifically, a question about rabbits. To field it, we hopped on the phone with a preeminent rabbit expert.
Hi, my name's Amy Sedaris, and I love rabbits, and I am a rabbit educator.
You might recognize Amy from some of her other work, Strangers with Candy, BoJack Horseman, but forget those Emmy noms. She also has a certification in rabbit wrangling.
I have a badge, and I can go to your house and help you prepare for your rabbit.
When did your bunny love start?
I don't know, out of the blue in the 90s. I was with Andy Richter, and we were walking on the Upper East Side, and I saw this little small bunny in a window, in a pet window, and I brought it home, didn't know anything about rabbits. And then I was doing an interview about rabbits, and this lady came to my house, and she said, "You're doing everything wrong," and she educated me, and it just made me love rabbits even more.
And what do you like about them?
I like how quiet they are, and they're unusual. Like, I love watching them do a floor routine and hop and skip and jump and twirl, and you can't even believe your eyes. It's like seeing a bush move. You know, you're like, did that bush just move down the block?
Okay, so Amy, we have a listener who needs your help.
Yes, talk to me.
His name is Anthony.
Hey, Anthony.
And his rabbits' names are Missy and Blueberry.
Hi, Missy and Blueberry.
And here's his question.
I have 2 free-range rabbits that run around my apartment. And sometimes I spend, like, a long time just kind of looking at them and wondering what they see me at. I know that they're rabbits, but what am I to them?
Well, my answer to Anthony's question would be, like, it's more about the feeling that they get from you because they're prey animals. So to them, you might be a predator. So that's why you just have to approach them slowly and let them know that you're not a threat. And that's one reason I like having a rabbit, is I like having a prey animal in my apartment that can kick back and be relaxed and know that, you know, he or she is safe. You know, Tina knows I'm not going to eat her.
Your rabbit, Tina, what do you think she thinks you are?
Crazy. Crazy.
Do you think she thinks of you as a giant rabbit?
I do, because my house looks like a big rabbit hutch anyway. I think Tina thinks the two of us live in a gigantic hutch. I really do.
All right, Anthony had a follow-up question.
Okay.
And I think it gets to the heart of what he really wants to know. He asks, do my rabbits love me?
I mean, if he's taking care of them and giving them deep tissue massages, and I mean, I'm sure the rabbit loves them. I mean, he would know. If they're growling at him or, you know, running away when he approaches, I mean, then, yeah, no, they don't like him.
Do you think Tina loves you?
I think Tina plays me. I think Tina, I'm being swindled by this rabbit. And because of the aggressiveness, hopping on the bed, demanding food, I can't have any nice bedding. She's ripped and torn everything that I own, chewed holes in everything. She's run into me in the hallway and made me fall down. So I don't know. I think when I take her to the vet and I can see, oh, look at her. She's coming towards me. Now she needs me because she's scared. But once I get home, Tina, because they say, oh, my bunny's my boss. That's what they say. But I do think she is my boss for sure. And I'm like, okay, you're the boss, applesauce, whatever you want. So I give complete control to Tina.
It sounds like you're the prey in this scenario.
Yeah, thank you. I should have called in my own question. Yeah, you're right.
Next up, vegetable. Listener Eddie called with a bunch of spinach questions.
Hi, Flora. I am right now eating a lot of cooked spinach, and my teeth are very gritty and squeaky. I've wondered this my whole life, and I need to know why this happened. If you can't help me with my emergency, I'd be very, very grateful. Laura, this is Eddie again with the squeaky and gritty spinach teeth. I'm wrapping up my dinner. It's already been another 45 minutes. And it's still squeaky and gritty. I need to know how to make it unsqueaky and ungritty. Help me now.
Eddie, we are here for you. To field those questions, we have a spinach influencer and another Emmy-nominated star.
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm strong to the spinach, because I eat my spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
No, we didn't get Popeye. Popeye's agent Brad said that, quote, P-Sale is absolutely slammed with a TikTok live event that he and 00 are doing in conjunction with Green Giant. And he regretfully has to pass this time. But we got a spinach researcher to answer your questions. This is Jim Carell. He's also strong to the spinach because he eats all his spinach.
I love spinach, yes.
Okay, Jim, as a spinach specialist, do you get Eddie's question a lot about spinach teeth?
I've been asked that by a few people, over the years. Some people are just really sensitive to it. Other people have never even heard of it.
Okay, so what causes spinach tooth?
Well, a spinach tooth results. A lot of plants have calcium oxalate in them. Spinach is particularly high in calcium oxalate.
What is calcium oxalate?
The oxalate is actually the crystal that's formed in spinach leaves. It's probably produced as a way to prevent insects feeding on the plants.
They don't like spinach teeth either?
Maybe. I don't know. I've never asked an insect about it, so it's hard to know.
So are the crystals, do they exist in the leaf?
Yes, they do. You could actually take a spinach leaf and grind it up and put it under the microscope, and you can see some of these crystals.
What do they look like?
They actually look like small spherical balls that are produced on the surface of the leaf oftentimes.
Huh. So when I'm eating spinach, my teeth get covered in tiny crystals.
Yes.
And can I wash these crystal balls off my spinach leaves?
You could wash some of them off. You can't get rid of the crystals that are internal.
But maybe that's a way to cut down on old crystal mouth.
I guess that's one way to put it.
Any other ways to combat spinach tooth?
One option would be not to eat spinach. The other option would be to brush your teeth. Just water alone will help dissolve the crystals.
Like boiling your spinach or drinking water while you're eating dinner?
Water while you're eating your spinach or after you're eating your spinach.
Maybe a spittoon.
Well, that would probably work, too.
There you go, Eddie. All you need is a spinach spittoon for your crystal mouth. After the break, a listener calls in with a quarry query.
What if this is a sinkhole and the whole thing goes and we all go and the car is going to go and then it just turned into worst case scenarios in my mind?
You have reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your mineral mystery after the tone.
Hi, my name is Maria, and I do have a factual emergency. My question is, how prevalent are really dangerous sinkholes? There's these big dips in my driveway area that I think are sinkholes, and I've seen horrible videos of, you know, like entire cars being sucked down into a sinkhole. But I don't know if I'm just overreacting.
Hello?
Hey, Maria.
Hi, Flora. How are you?
I'm well. How about you? Are you calling us from a cavern deep beneath the earth?
Yeah, thankfully I'm not, but it was definitely a fear.
Yeah, I want to know more about this. What prompted your fear of being sucked down an earth drain?
Well, I was walking my dog and I saw this little circle hole in the ground, kind of like a break in the ground, like an asphalt.
What kind of dog do you have?
I have a little Scottish Terrier, Berkeley. He's so cute. And I was worried that his little leg was going to fall into it.
Was he sniffing around the area? Did he seem like his spidey senses were up?
He didn't. He kind of just walked right around it. So I think maybe that was his own way of averting disaster. And then I was thinking, well, what if this is a sinkhole and the whole thing goes and we all go and the car is going to go And then it just turned into worst case scenarios in my mind.
Maria, I Googled 100 most common fears.
Okay.
Sinkholes didn't even make the fear of .NET list, which means it is behind beard phobia, clown phobia, and banana phobia.
What? I can't believe a fear of a sinkhole is below the fear of a banana. I don't believe that website.
Well, of all the worries in all the world, why does your mind go to sinkhole?
It's not like a morbid curiosity of mine. I think I've just come across it. And then when I saw it in the road, I was just like, this is it. What am I going to do?
So I have good news, Maria. I think we can help.
Okay.
Because it's possible that you're on the verge of being sucked into an earth pot pie, we felt we had to kick your question up a notch. You have been upgraded to an ELT Titanium Platinum Priority Level and ELTTPP.
What a superlative that is.
ELTTPP?
Mm-hmm. ELTTPP?
It rolls right off the tongue.
It sure does.
So because your priority level on the line, listening in right now, is a sinkhole specialist. He is here to answer your sinkhole questions and to prevent you from sinking into any holes.
Well, good afternoon. Yes, David Wilshaw here, geologist down in Florida.
Hi, David.
Hello, Maria. I hope I can put your mind at rest and you can walk the little Scotty dog without fear of him being swallowed whole by an underground sinkhole monster that might be living in your yard.
That would be amazing. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, so David, you are a geologist and you specialize in sinkholes. Tell us, what does a foreman of fissures do?
Foreman of fissures? Well, that's fantastic. My day-to-day existence involves looking into the ground. I have a terrible stoop. I have a very well-sunburnt neck from bending over and looking down. But a lot of what I do is people saying, hey, I've got a hole in my yard. Could it be a sinkhole? And sometimes in Florida, it can.
So, David, you work in Florida, the sinkhole capital of the U.S.
Oh, yes. In fact, if you ever look at an aerial image of Florida or, you know, Google Earth of Florida, you'll see we're blessed with thousands of these lovely circular lakes, and they're all sinkholes. They're ancient geologic features, but our landscape is dominated by sinkholes. We had one, you know, just two or three years ago in a place called Land of Lakes.
Land of sinkholes.
Land of sinkholes, there you go.
So David, what is a sinkhole?
So if there is some kind of hole or void or cave in the ground below the soil, then the soil can find its way into that void. And once it does that, it makes this sinkhole. So it's really something which appears at the surface because of material that moves into an underground cavity. Now, those underground cavities can be naturally formed. So in limestone, we get limestone caverns that dissolve over millions of years. Limestone is our only rock here in Florida, really. So that's why we have lots of sinkholes. But equally, it can be something that's a lava pipe in Hawaii, which is a cavity below the ground, or it can be something man-made, such as a mine shaft that hasn't been filled in properly, or it can be a sewer pipe or a drain. So what happens when the soil moves into that cavity is something will happen that'll make the ground just cave in.
Maria, what do you want to know?
Well, I guess, what is the average size of one?
Most of them really are less than 500 feet, but when it comes to the very large ones, such as the Winter Park sinkhole here in Florida, which was 1981, I mean, that gobbled up a car dealership and we lost a few Porsches and BMWs down the sinkhole and it filled with water. And now that's just called Lake Rose.
What happened to the cars? Are they still down there?
I think they got some of the cars out. You know, they dangled a couple of cranes over and and hoisted them out, but it was a pretty dynamic sinkhole, so I don't think many people would have wanted to risk their lives even for an expensive luxury German vehicle.
How long did it take for that sinkhole to go? Was it just instant?
It went pretty quickly. I mean, it was, you know, it was, I know there was news crews and helicopters hovering over it, watching the cars fall in. It was a matter of days to get to its full size. Nobody got hurt, thankfully. I mean, I think that's one thing is a sinkhole is relatively sneaky. It'll start to collapse in slowly, and you've normally got enough time to get out of there, and unless you're, you know, asleep in your bed. And there has been a case here in Florida where there was a fatality when somebody was asleep in their bed and a sinkhole opened up underneath their bedroom. So it's tragic but rare, thankfully. Usually you can hear the buildings start to creak and groan and crack, and you know, you get out of Dodge fairly quickly when that happens.
I have to say, this is not really helping the sinkhole fear go away. Has somebody fallen into a sinkhole and survived?
Yes, but not very deep ones usually. I'd say it's really unusual to go down a sinkhole. You know, the temptation is to go and peer over and look down into it, which is the worst thing you can do, because the sinkhole is a lot bigger than you can see from the surface. You know, it's all caves in underneath you. So, you know, the problem occurs then when people just get too nosy, you know. And it's people like me. We can't help ourselves. You know, we see a hole in the ground. We have to look into it.
Yeah, that is not me.
Maria, are you ready to dive into your sinkhole issue?
I am, yes.
All right, let's get to the possible limestone calzone forming in Maria's driveway. David, would it be helpful to have Maria describe it?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so I'm in Richmond, Virginia. I live in kind of like a townhouse area, and there's like the main road and then drive lanes that kind of go past all of our townhouse buildings.
Okay.
And it's on one of those drive lanes, and it was just like the asphalt had broken, so it was kind of ruggedy on the inside of the hole, but it was definitely open into whatever's below the ground, the street.
Okay.
And there were a few of them. There was one right by my building. It was a pretty big hole, I would say the size of like a small dinner plate.
Were they all in a straight line, Maria? Were they?
They were all on the same axis line, just vertically, one after another, but maybe, I don't know, 500 feet apart from each other.
Interesting.
Okay, so let me see if I have this straight. In front of your condos, Maria, there's a little road, and running down that road is a stripe of holes.
Yes.
David, as a king of cracks.
I don't think king of cracks will fit on my business card, but.
Does this sound like a sinkhole forming?
Sounds like it could be a Friday afternoon drainage job where somebody was laying pipes in that part of the roadway for the condos.
Maria, is it right in front of your house? Is it worth just going and taking a peek and describing what you see?
They've already filled it up.
Oh, they've been filled in since you called.
Yeah.
It sounds like somebody's taken responsibility. But this does sound like a good old drainage. So this is more of a plumber problem than a geologist problem. And somebody's taken charge and hopefully relayed the asphalt, and we don't need to worry about it anymore. I'm sure it'll be fine, but, you know, just keep an eye on it.
Okay.
What do you think, Maria? Have we eased your troubled think bowl?
You've eased my troubled think bowl, yes. But I think I'm also now going to just keep an eye out for every hole in the ground. I'm also feeling a little validated in my fear and not like a crazy person thinking that this little hole was going to turn into something larger, because it sounds like that's an actual possibility in the world that we live in. So maybe when I travel, I'm going to be looking on like geological websites beforehand. I don't know.
Well, Maria, you just gave me a great idea for a new business opportunity, is writing geological guides on TripAdvisor for people who have a sinkhole fear, and give it a rating of a 5 is a runaway screaming and a 1 is sleep tight in your bed tonight. So that's thanks for that, Maria. I think that's going to work.
And you can just give me a shout out in the acknowledgements page. That would be great.
You could be the first customer.
I would definitely buy that guidebook.
David, I just have one last question. Can I call you Cinco?
Oh, I don't know about that one. You know, the King of Cracks was one, but Cinco? No. No, I don't think so.
Every Little Thing is produced by Gabby Bulgarelli, Phoebe Flanagan, Aaron Reese, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka, Doug Barron, and Tom Alexander, Taryn Hall, and Andrew Stelzer. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored by Dara Hirsch and Bobby Lord. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. Some Bunny Loves Me. Goodbye.
My factual family, I don't have a factual emergency, but you always make the stories so good. I don't know who in a phone call is actually in a phone call. I hear people on the phone and responding and everything. I don't know how you do it. How do you do it? And also, I can do an impression of the announcer guy. I can't do it. Thank you, fam. Thanks, Factual Family. Bye.